everybody. Welcome to the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far. It's Friday, June 19th, 2020. And we're probably not going to upload this until actually June 20th of 2020. I'm back from a little bit of a hiatus there. I wonder if you missed me. Maybe you didn't or didn't even notice. I've been out for a few weeks because of a death in my family, and it just really felt like a bad time to jump back into things. I wanted to come back and make sure that you had a friendly face, it's mine, telling you all about the digital marketing news that you missed this week. So we're going to go ahead and get started with season three here over on YouTube, like we always do. Over on YouTube. YouTube has added the ability for ads to have shoppable areas so people can purchase products directly in the ad itself, or lead generation forms so you can generate leads faster right on the YouTube page while your ad is running. FameBit, the influencer marketing platform that YouTube purchased in 2016, is being rebranded to YouTube Brand Connect. Now let's dive in to Google. Google's John Mueller has warned SEOs and website managers about using what's called the guest blog tactic. This is when you write a blog article for another blog or website and they publish it without going through and editorially reviewing the links that have been added into it, and with the sole intent of getting a nice juicy link to either your website or to a client's website. John went on to say that Google is not penalizing websites who use the guest blog tactic for link building. However, when they identify it, they frequently devalue the links that are included inside of a guest blog post. So Google has actually been against guest blogging for link building since around 2013, when they went after the My Blog Guest platform, which was ran by SEO and Smarty. Ever since then, this tone really hasn't changed. In fact, Google has actually warned other blog owners, such as food bloggers, about linking out to websites when guest content is contributed to them. They've also warned journalists and other news websites about linking out to websites who offer them free content in exchange for that link. However, in my personal opinion, it is probably really, really difficult for Google to actually differentiate between an editorially reviewed link and a non-editorially reviewed link. So if you're doing guest blogging, I think it's okay to keep going, especially with the new guidance that Google's just going to devalue the links if they think that it's not worthwhile for their engine. Just when you do guest blogging, make sure that you're not writing for websites that are really spammy and scummy. Make sure that they have an editor, a human editor, reviewing that content, that human editor has a history of saying, no, I don't like this link, and so therefore I'm going to take it out, or you don't get to have your content published. Find those websites. Those are the people you want to write for. Google has advised that it could take up to one full year of ranking fluctuations before it determines where a brand new website should rank inside of the search engine. Now, this isn't really different from guidance we've gotten out of Google in the past, including the video, How to Hire an SEO by ex-Googler Miley Oye. So I think this is probably pretty correct. One of the things to think about here, though, is that in that year period of time, you shouldn't be just sitting back drinking a pina colada or margarita and waiting on Google to rank you. You should be working hard on your own SEO, experimenting, testing, doing link building campaigns, doing digital PR campaigns, creating really great content, and working harder so that when that year is up, Google maybe has to keep finding different ways and reasons to not rank you highly. So you want to give Google all the reasons to rank you highly as you possibly can. You simply don't want to sit back and wait on Google to make that decision themselves, because I can tell you from experience, you probably won't like the answer that you get if you simply wait on Google to give it to you. Google made an extremely rare announcement telling us about a new search ranking factor that will be applied in the year 2021, that's next year, called the cumulative layout shift ranking factor. I'm not going to dive into all the details about it. I might make another video someday about that one, but it is a new ranking factor. Be aware of it, keep it in the back of your mind, but there's tons of other stuff to work on right now, so probably don't stress too much about it until we get closer to next spring, when the cumulative layout shift is going to be added to Google's algorithm. Google has began putting local store information inside of the Google Shopping tab. This is what Google says is another way of trying to help small businesses, especially those small retailers, get through the coronavirus pandemic. But in reality, it's probably a really good way for Google to kind of stick it to Amazon and eBay a little bit, which don't really promote that local business at that sort of level. So check out how you can do that. Go look that up. If you're a local retailer, this is probably going to be very useful for you moving forward. For the first time, you can now fill out a form and request Google to remove counterfeit goods from the search engine. Google Ads has started prohibiting ads targeting demographics or zip codes for housing, employment, and credit. The Google Ads Coronavirus Recovery Ad Credits started rolling out on June 17th. They are $300. They will show up automatically inside of your Google Ads account, and either you or your manager, or probably both of you, will get a notice from Google that the credit has been applied. If your ads are currently running, it's just going to apply to your currently running ads. If you have paused your ads for any reason, or if you haven't paid your bill for any reason, then it will be applied to whatever outstanding balance you have and your ads will start running again. You have until December, if you get these ad credits, to start using them and to use up all $300 that Google is giving you. If you're running Google Ads, though, $300 probably isn't going to take long to burn through, maybe a couple of weeks or a month in the best case scenario. Still, it's a really nice gesture from Google, giving small businesses a little bit of something back. And maybe, hopefully, you're turning that $300 into extra business for yourself. Google Search Console has added data for marked up recipe content. This week, Google pulled advertising from two publisher websites, citing that comments left on articles on these websites violated their policies. This is interesting because if you look at the comments in question, they're eerily similar to stuff that is left on YouTube videos all the time. This has sort of renewed a debate about why Google allows YouTube to have a completely different set of policies governing the content on it when the ads are served from the same Google Ads platform. But every other website and every other publisher on the internet that uses the Google Ads system to make money has to abide by this completely different and far stricter set of rules. Both publisher websites were able to get reinstated because they removed their comment section. So they basically deleted the comments and Google said, okay, cool, you can come back and get advertising revenue from us again. In Facebook news, Facebook has purchased Swedish startup MapIllary for an undisclosed amount to get into digital map making and directions and possibly create their own product to compete against Bing Maps or Microsoft Maps and Google Maps. Facebook relaxed their ban on non-medical face mask ads. Users on Facebook will soon be able to block all political advertising. Yes, I have wanted this feature for so long, so I am really happy, but political marketers are probably not going to be as happy. Apple has rejected Facebook's gaming app from the Apple Apps Store for iOS, probably because the Facebook gaming app allows you to play games inside of the app with other people using a social feature without actually downloading those games from the Apple App Store itself. And that probably goes against what Apple wants you to do with their devices, which is they want you to download apps that they can then get a little piece of the money out of. So they probably rejected Facebook for that. This is the second time this has happened. It actually happened in February. Facebook is going to keep trying to get this app onto Apple's App Store. Facebook is partnering with Wikipedia to show information inside of their search feature, similar to how Google has the knowledge panels and Bing has these knowledge panels of Wikipedia styled information, often pulled straight from Wikipedia. So now you can use Facebook search instead of Google or Bing to find factoids like population or somebody's birthday. Facebook News, a new portion of the Facebook app and website that is all about current events and news, launched all across the United States. Personally, I would like to beg everyone out there to actually not use Facebook News and just not use Facebook or Twitter or any social media to get your news. Actually, go and try to get the news somewhere else. You're going to have a much better experience, and you're probably going to get a much broader perspective than you're going to get from a social media website. Facebook is releasing a new feature called Manage Activity, which will allow users to bulk delete old posts. This is going to come in really handy for young adults that are making the shift into adulthood to delete all of their old party day posts, or even, I hope, maybe set those to only me so that they're the only ones that can see them. This could also come in handy for somebody running for office to delete anything that they may have done in the past that may come up as offensive. It could also just be good because maybe you don't want to remember the stupid things you did when you were a teenager when you're about to turn 40, like this guy. Namecheap, a domain registrar, is accusing Facebook of trying to make a blanket claim to personally identifiable information and personal data collected by domain registrars in the course of business. And they say that they're trying to do this to get around Europe's GDPR and identify people who buy and operate certain domains. It's a very interesting lawsuit going on right now between Namecheap and Facebook. Namecheap fired the first shots here in their blog post this week. We'll see what comes out of this, but it wouldn't be the first time Facebook did something a little crazy like this to get access to people's personal information. Over on Instagram, like Facebook, Instagram users will soon be able to block all political ads on the platform. At some point this year, Instagram is expected to take the number 4 spot for social media websites where people get their news from Twitter, who will then drop to number 5. Again, just a reminder, don't get your news from social media. It's terrible. Over on the Snappity Chatty, Snapchat is getting mini apps inside of their app, all created by independent developers to extend the platform in ways that Snapchat probably wouldn't have extended it themselves. Snapchat has launched an ads certification program. They also launched a new education platform for marketers called Snap Focus. Snapchat's dynamic ads have now rolled out globally. We take you now to Bing. The Bing mobile app now has a dark mode. The Bing Webmaster Tool System is trying to court SEOs with a couple of new features. They have a new feature which will allow you to see competitive link data, and they also have a new feature called Site Scan, which will allow SEOs to perform an SEO audit inside of the Bing Webmaster Tools, all for free. Over on Pinterest, Pinterest is running another test of their story pins. Over on TikTok, TikTok revealed some of the secrets to how their algorithm works. And one of the more interesting things is that their algorithm isn't really bound by the number of followers or likes or anything like that that somebody has or a brand has on their profile. It's all about that one piece of content and how much people like it. TikTok's US revenue is expected to hit or exceed $500 million this year. That's a lot of money for a platform owned by China where American kids and their parents do really terrible dances, but I guess that's the thing right now. Over on Twitter. Twitter began rolling out their audio tweets feature to iOS users, so Android users and desktop users like me, we don't have it yet, but iOS users supposedly are really enjoying tweeting with just their voice. Twitter's Fleets feature, that is like their story thing, has expanded to India, one of the most populous countries in the world. So now that means Brazil, and India, and I think Italy have access to this feature. So they're still kind of rolling it out slowly, globally, and testing it. Who knows if it'll come to America? I have no idea. Maybe, maybe not. Do you even want it? I don't know. Tell me down in the comments. Do you want stories on Twitter? Marketers, please tell me if that's what you want down below. One of the more interesting tech updates in the digital marketing world in recent memory is Twitter is going to try to convince people to read articles before they actually tweet or retweet them out to their audience. They're going to do this by putting up a little prompt message that says, hey, notice you're trying to share this message. Maybe you want to read it first, you know? And who knows if Twitter's going to take it beyond that and maybe put a label on there on your tweet that says, this person did not read this article. So they may even try to shame you if you don't click the link. Don't really know how this works. My guess is it's just going to be based on the click-through rate or maybe the t.co domain that Twitter owns and redirects all of the links through. Maybe they'll use that to do some tracking, figure out if you were actually able to read the article or most of the article. Who knows? But it is pretty interesting. I really want to see what happens on Twitter on this absolute hellscape of conversation when people are forced to read an article or they are shamed by Twitter for not reading the article. I'm actually really looking forward to that, Jack. Sure, we don't have the edit feature yet. I really want the edit feature. You have a million reasons why you think it's a bad idea to give it to us, the thing that everybody wants. But I kind of want to see where this goes, too. Twitter purged 174,000 accounts connected to the Communist Party of China, the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. Now, most articles on this, for some reason, really didn't want to say the name of the Communist Party of China. They just said connected to China. But China is ruled by one government, and that is the Chinese Communist Party, or the CCP. And to me, that is just really scary that we probably knew it was happening, but a state-controlled, massively centralized government like China has 174,000. That Twitter was able to catch accounts out there tweeting stuff to try to influence people's opinions and their actions. And it's just, how many more do they have? Do they have millions or billions more? It really freaks me out and makes me really not want to interact with people I don't really know on Twitter. Maybe you shouldn't either. Just a thought. Bonus round! Nextdoor has announced a new feature called Business Post. This is a free feature for businesses to post to communities in which they are a part of or in which they serve. And it is a free, like I just said, but it requires you to have a business page. You have to claim your business on Nextdoor. It's kind of a sneaky way to get you in there. We actually saw Facebook do similar things, got you in there, you got your Facebook page instead of the account, which was really useful back in 2006, 2007. They were like, no, use this page. And then eventually they were like, oh, you don't get reach from your page. Oh no, you should pay us money. So maybe Nextdoor is trying to do the same thing. They claim they're trying to help small local businesses. And that's why they've released this feature right now during all of this. But it could just be another Trojan horse to try to convince you to pay Nextdoor for advertising later on down the road. But try it, especially if you're a service contractor for homeowners, lawn mowing or remodeling or anything like that, home repairs or plumbing, this might actually be really useful for you. So check it out. Walmart and Shopify have announced a new partnership. If you're a Shopify store owner, you'll be able to install a plugin from Walmart and apply to have your products listed in the Walmart marketplace. Walmart says they expect to take on about 1,200 applicants this year, but be warned, there are some pretty strict guidelines you have to follow to be approved, and there's no guarantee that you will be approved. But if you have a unique product, this is a really good opportunity to get in front of Walmart executives, Walmart employees, at the very least. And if you get approved, get in front of Walmart's online shopping audience. Finally, this week, there is a new Chrome extension and Firefox add-on called GMB Scanner. And the GMB Scanner does something very interesting, What it does is when you go to Google Maps and you type in a business search query like Dallas SEO, it's actually going to show up with a list of businesses like Google Maps always does, but it's going to label each one that it believes are violating Google My Business's guidelines on temporary office spaces. And it's going to say, this is likely a co-working space, or this is likely a virtual office, or this is likely an executive suite from Regis. This is interesting because Google apparently can't do this. They have massive, massive problems determining who is actually violating the temporary office rule and who is not. They've actually changed the rule several times. It's really exhausting and head-spinning to try to keep up with. But if you're a local SEO and you're out there and you're trying to find another tool in your arsenal for when you report this spam, the GMB scanner looks like it's going to come in handy, allowing you to take screenshots. It's going to tell you what kind of virtual office, temporary office space it is, so you can actually then go to that website and find that listing and include that in with your report as well. I have a write-up about this extension and Firefox add-on over on the website, joeyoungblood.com. Give it a read. Let me know what you think in the comments below that article. That's it for the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far podcast edition. Thank you for tuning into this edition of our podcast, and thank you for your patience while we have been gone for the past few weeks sorting out several issues, including personal and obviously business issues. I hope every single one of you listening to this is doing really, really well in the middle of all of this nastiness and this pandemic. If you're not, reach out and tell me how I can help. I'd love to try to help you out and see that we all get through this. I'll talk to you next week.